the discovery of psychedelics is the discovery that all of this cultural machinery is just Wizard of Oz stuff.
Don't think. Feel. It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills.
That's it. How did it feel to you?
We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
The prophecy is true.
Welcome to the Astro Mind Podcast.
What's up, guys? It's Kamal Kess. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Astro Mind Podcast. Here's peace, here's love, here's life. I hope you're having your best day. If you're not, choose to do so because your reality exists in your mind and you can have your best day. Why not? If you can change a reality, why not have your best day? I hope everyone is doing well. Today, I've got a very special guest on. I'm very happy to introduce this guest. Her name is Jennifer Almany. And she is just a wonderful human being. She's got a lot of information to share with us on love and accepting yourself. And I'm really ready to get into this talk. She recently wrote a book about the power of love, getting over grief, and making a mark of love, and finding a way to overcome challenges and difficulties that you may have with grief. And after losing the love of her life 2.5 years ago, Jennifer began to transform her life through loss. And her first book, Mark My Love, was born. She speaks openly about her grieving process and being okay with not being okay, which is a very, very powerful thing that I feel like a lot of people struggle with. In her memoir, she explores love, loss, and looking at life differently. So, Jennifer, how are you doing? Say hello to the audience.
Hi, I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Excellent. I'm doing great. Love to see it. So the first thing I want to ask is, how did you kind of start on this journey? What was your spiritual journey like? What was that initial aha moment like? This is how I'm going to help people. This is my calling and my passion. What was that like for you?
Yeah, my boyfriend passed away about 3 years ago. Yesterday was the anniversary. And I started journaling about two to three months after he passed. I just felt compelled to start writing and journal. And I've been journaling my whole life, but it was different. It was faster. I felt drawn to it. There was something pulling me. So I knew right away that it was something more than myself. And I was writing very fast, meaning so that the pen was moving faster than normal. So I knew I wasn't alone. It was my first time I had that experience. But I want to say my spirituality existed ever since I was, a child. I had certain knowings. I grow them over time, because I think sometimes, society is not welcoming when it comes to those woo-woo things, we like to call them.
Right.
But yeah, I think that was, the writing of my story was the first time I really felt even more connected with spirit. Like, I knew there was someone else with me. I knew my boyfriend was on the other side. My mother had been on the other side also for a while. And I know I was tapping into her spirit, as well.
So you're an intuitive writer is what you're describing. You tap into these things. Is this a little bit like channeled writing and things like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I hadn't really heard of it before until I experienced it myself. In my story, towards the end of the book, there's a lot of transformation I speak of, and a lot of it, I read back the book now and I know those words didn't come from me, to be honest with you, right? So you hear that often, whether it be people writing songs or people writing books, that they say came from someplace else. And this was the same thing. I knew that the message I was giving was coming from, the other side. And they were using me as a channel to bring those words, I think, to life.
What would you say is your process? Because that's a beautiful thing to feel like you're being taken through an experience. Like just you're in the flow state, you're receiving this information. It's just pin moving faster than you can even comprehend. Mm-hmm. Is there a process that you have to get into that state? Like, is there a meditation you do before getting in? What's that like?
No, I mean, I meditate every day. That's something that's part of my, I want to say my rituals that I have, you know, every single morning. But when it comes to, came to the writing, it's just, I'm just drawn to it. It's hard to describe. I feel a pull to it. So I've been writing other items since I wrote Mark My Love. And that too, it just, they've been coming to me in blocks where all of a sudden it's a block of time where I just feel drawn. And then I just start writing. And it's like this, it's almost like I turn on my do not disturb sign. And it just, the pen just keeps going and things just start flowing out of me. And I feel it, it's very easy, let me put it that way. So that too, I'm not thinking about it. I don't have my mind involved in it. It's just coming from my heart and the other side. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's my process. I don't have anything exact. You know, I don't sit in a certain space. It's just literally, I always carry around some kind of little notebook with me at all times, because sometimes it's just all of a sudden I could be out taking a walk and something, I get flooded with information and I have to just write it down before I lose some of it. I may not sit and write it all if I'm down, out walking, but I just jot down some notes so I don't lose that thought process. And then I kind of come back to it when I'm able to. I've had that experience also.
Wow. So it's like you're going through your day and, you know, you get a text message download from the universe or from a guide or a spirit and you just write it down. I like the simplicity of that. I feel like too often we allow the methods to get in the way of what we're actually doing, and we focus too much on the how we get there as opposed to the just being open for the experience. There has to be a balance in that, and I appreciate that a lot. And it looks a little different for you. I don't hear a lot of people getting into channeled writing, but I know it's a thing. Like I had a mentor who did it as well. It is definitely a thing. And you say it just started several months. You started journaling and then progressively it started moving into that. And so let's talk about the book a little bit. I know it's the creation of it was spawned from these losses that you've had. What are some of the things you talk about pertaining to overcoming grief and, you know, kind of moving past that?
Yeah, I show a little bit. It's not, you know, I don't want it to be a how-to guide because I think I've learned in my own grief that it's so different for everybody. You know, I think that we read in society a lot about the stages of grief and all of that. And I think it's so much more intimate, you know, that's the word I would use for it because, you know, you're the only one who had that relationship with those who may have passed that you're grieving, or even like say animals who have passed on as well, any beings in your life that have passed on. So I think that when I lost my boyfriend 3 years ago, I was in such pain. Again, you know, my mother had been gone about 13 years at that point, but I knew when he passed that I didn't really fully grieve her. And it was like flooding through me, this pain, even more immensely, I think, than I had experienced the first time when I lost my mother. So I knew, I felt compelled to start writing because I knew there had to be a purpose for that pain I was experiencing. And that was a hard pill for me to accept, right? People don't want to think that they're meant to go through certain things, but I think that we all have, you know, that there's a little bit of blueprint that we have already predetermined of things that we're supposed to experience. And I think it's those choices that we make on the daily that kind of guide us to the next steps of whatever that journey may be. Mine happened to be through the grief process. So I discovered a lot of that. I had lost myself a lot. I realized when my mother had passed 13 years ago, I realized that I shut down a lot of myself and things that went on. My mom was a single mom, so she was my mom and my dad and my best friend. So you're talking, she was a key person in my life. You know, I spoke to her multiple times a day. So when that leaves your life, that's a big loss, you know? Mm-hmm. So I realized it when my boyfriend passed, I realized, oh, I had shut down so much of myself that I didn't even know myself anymore, to be honest. It was kind of like, I didn't know who this person was. And, you know, I had to break myself down completely to the bare bones at that point. Because I realized, well, what am I here for now? It's like I met this love of my life. We had intentions of spending the rest of our days together. I'm in my mid-40s. He was in his mid-50s. So it's like, you know, there was a bright future ahead. And then it was gone, you know, and very quickly. So it's like me sharing in other people that I've had two different experiences and lost, right? And it was just showing how I took different approaches. You know, in my book, I talk about the love that they had, those two loves of my life. But I also talk about how I grieved so differently. My mother, I just shut everything down. And I was like, I just stayed in the pain. I didn't want to know anything else. And it's kind of like I stopped living my life, you know, for a very long time, you know. But when he passed, it was kind of like, I think I say somewhere in my book where I'm like, hell no, I'm not staying down on the ground this time. I'm getting up and I'm going to be stronger and I'm doing this differently. And I'm going to tell my story. You know, I'm a very private person. So that was a big one for me. Here I am telling this intimate memoir of a big portion of my life. And I hadn't been on social media before, anything like that. So now I was like, okay, now I'm telling the world these intimate details of my life. You know, so that took a year to get through that, for me to work through that. But I did, because I kept getting the message again from the other side. You're meant to tell the story. You're meant to put these words out there. Like, we know that you're private and quiet, but now it's something new. Yet you need to do this, not only for yourself, but for others who are feeling any kind of pain. You know, I think we grieve in so many ways in our life. We grieve for losing ourselves. Like I just said, I realized I was grieving for myself, just losing who I was. But, you know, you grieve after the loss of a job, a change of a career, a divorce. You know, there's so many facets to it. And I don't think that we look at it enough, because it makes us uncomfortable, right? We avoid the uncomfortable in life.
Yeah, I definitely agree, especially with what you mentioned about social media, and that what you're presenting is a very intimate look into your life, this memoir and these things that you've experienced. I feel like in our world today, we have this appearance of connection with everything else thanks to the internet, but there's a lack of connection. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lack of that intimacy of actually knowing a person. Some of the best and most inspirational things I've learned about life has been through someone expressing their own life and what they've learned. It hasn't been like a step-by-step guide to living a better life. It's been, I went through this. It impacted me like this. And you pull the message from it yourself. Like, oh, I see that. That's tough. That's powerful. I've been dealing with grief myself, just in the way the world has been changing, just in the way my own life has been changing. And I noticed that it's possible to get stuck in that grief where you identify with it. And it's like molasses. It's like quicksand. It's hard to, you know, get out of that, because there's something about grief that's like, it's like a black hole. It's like it just pulls you in and you get stuck in that. And so it is really good that you're expressing that message, and you're coming with that sort of energy. Like, even though you're a person who is more introverted, who usually keeps to themselves, that you're still putting out there and saying, hey, this is a message I need to give. And I feel like you need to give that message, because a lot of people don't think they should take the time to work on themselves. You know, I talk to people a lot when I teach them about, you know, growing and who they are and on this spiritual journey, about healing past traumas. You know, you said that your mother had died 13 years prior, and you had just now started to say, I've been living kind of lower on status with myself. So, like, how do you go about, how did you rediscover yourself in that way? Because it seems like you had to put pieces back together. Of course, such a powerful loss.
I mean, I did it through a lot of meditation, to be honest. I think I dived in deeper. I found yoga. So I became, you know, a yogi and kind of living my life in that space. Nature, that was a big one for me. I hadn't really, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I'm a city girl. You know, I wasn't always, I didn't always have experience in nature. And I noticed once I was getting out more into nature and hiking and all of that, it was like, I like to say, like, I think that the trees were talking to me, like nature was speaking to me. And I realized there was more to life than these external things that society, of course, puts on us, that what we're supposed to do in life or what goes on. I started, you know, I also felt, you know, I want to say a big thing for me was gratitude. I had this daily gratitude. I've always been very grateful for, you know, my life and what I've been given. But it was a daily gratitude of, now I'm saying out loud the minute I open my eyes, like, thank you for another day and let's see what's going to bring, you know. And that's, you know, that was part of helping me, I think, rebuild myself, because I started realizing, you know, I think that sometimes we can make our days not so great, And I don't think that we wake up going, I'm going to make this a bad day. We don't say that, I think. But right. I think little things that happen, right? We're stuck in traffic. The, you know, the coffee wasn't right or something. And then we just set off. Like, we just start. You know, I felt like I was like that in my life before. And now things are just simpler. I don't worry about any of that nonsense. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, now I get my cup of tea and I literally say to my tea, like, I'm thankful for you, you know, because I am, you know. So it's just, that's what got me through the grief process myself, was, I think, connecting more with the simpler things in life. You know, I want to say overall, right, the things that I mentioned.
Taking grief and, like you say, being grateful for what you have, I feel like that's what gets rid of that. Somehow grief turns into self-loathing, in my experience and the people I've worked with. If they have these past traumas, these wounds that are unresolved, they tend to attach themselves to that situation and devalue themselves through it. There's this lack of self-love. And so being grateful, it just tends to switch that up. And I know you talk a lot about, you know, the power of love and why love is important. How would you then look at these situations you've gone through and say to yourself, I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. And I feel like to reach that place, it takes a certain amount of self-love. It takes a amount of self-care. How would you then care about yourself? I know you talk about nature and writing and things. What would you tell to someone who had just gone through a traumatic incident? They lost someone and they are retracted and retreating into themselves. How do you help that person to love themselves again?
Well, I mean, at first I would say, you know, to take it moment by moment, because I think we put a lot upon ourselves pretty quickly, and especially in that grieving process. But I think what started working for me was I was literally telling myself in the mirror, like, I love myself. I started doing that daily, and it started to change things around, just like that gratitude that when I say that in the morning, right? So those little things, they seem like little shifts only, but they can shift so much, like, so quickly. And I think I felt that in my own life. So that's why I'm spreading that word about love, because I think that I feel, you know, we all believe different things, but I feel that we're here to learn about love unconditionally. I think that's what we're brought here. I think we all have our different purposes. Obviously, we all have our journeys that we're here to impact, I think, each other as humankind. But I think that we're supposed to learn about that ultimate love, because I think that, again, people believe in different things, whether it be God or a different, you know, universe, however people want to say that. I think that I feel that that's love. I think that God is love. I think the universe is love. So I think that's what we're supposed to circle our way back to. And I think that we're given these different little, I don't want to say little snippets of pain in life, but I think that those that can endure the pain and look and see the sun again and see that light, I think that they can help shed that on others. Because, like you said, people go into that darkness and then just stay there for different reasons, you know? Me admitting that to myself, that I didn't want to, like, move on without my mom, right? Why do I want to be happy? She's not here. Why is everybody happy? She's not here anymore. Oh, she can't live and do these things. Why do I want to do them, right? I was in that space, but I wasn't sharing that with anyone either. I was keeping it to myself, because, again, sometimes in life we squash our voices for different reasons. So I felt like, okay, who wants to hear this? You know, who wants to hear this nonsense, in a sense, how I looked at it? So I kept it all in and I bottled it up. But I didn't look at it like then. I didn't look at it that I wasn't loving myself. Now I realize I wasn't. That was a part of it.
Allowing yourself to speak, you know, is that self-love. That makes a lot of sense. I totally agree with that. Like, diminishing your own value by not sharing your story, you know, by not sharing your experience. No one wants to hear that. Like, I don't need to talk about that. Like, and I feel like that's our society as well. In the U.S. is like, we have this business lifestyle where I can't bring any unprofessional, intimate detail to anyone pertaining to my life. I got to be professional with everyone, it seems like. And I think that's one thing that's really difficult for me. And I feel really powerfully about this specifically, like going and sharing your life with someone else. It's because that was something very difficult for me. When I was younger, it was very hard for me to take my own past traumas and my own hurts and wants and, you know, places I felt I had failed, grief, and express that to anyone else. It was all bottled up. I kept it all to myself. And that's an act of self-harm in a way. You know, you're not letting this energy move. I keep saying that emotions are energy in motion. It's like you have to let it pass through you. And that means that you're going to feel it. You just have to be. You see, what I've noticed is that emotions come and we hold on to these dense, negative, heavy emotions. Yeah. And we don't allow the other emotions to come in because we're holding on to these. Like, this happened to me, I am this. And so you hold on to it. I remember a few years ago, I was with a group of people, and we basically sat down. It was almost like an intervention sort of thing. You know, we sat down and we're like, all right, we're going to work you through all these past traumas. We're going to do this right now. It was a whole group of them. You know, other people were praying and things like that. And it was like a 7-hour intense, like, life trauma evaluation. Like, who are you? Who are you trying to be? And like, what are these things that happened to you telling you that you are? And we need to get rid of that stuff. It was a really, really powerful thing. And it really was just me finally expressing who I was, finally expressing the hurt and allowing myself to feel it. You know, I feel like a lot of times people don't want to face it. And so it stays there. You gotta feel it, you know. It's gonna take you. Maybe you have to break down for a moment, and once you're done, once you felt it, it's time to rebuild and pick yourself back up.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. And I think that, like I said before, right? We don't want to go through that pain, so we avoid it as a society. But I think for me, and I'm unique, but like I said, I think me sharing my story, maybe others will, you know, decide to look at their own life in a different way, right? When I was already down on the ground, and that's why I decided just to break myself down completely the rest of it. It may sound weird, but it was kind of like, you know what? I'm down here. I think I had that aha moment where I was just like, I'm down on the ground. Hey, let's just see what else is in the closet that I haven't faced, you know, from childhood or whatever.
Let's get it all out of the way now. Yeah, since I'm here.
And then I kind of cleaned it up, but then I was able to build up pretty quickly once I did that. You know what I'm saying? So for me to express that freedom, where I'm telling people that I had that freedom because I did that. You know, I'm not saying everyone to go out and do that immediately, but it's give it some thought, you know, because, you know, it's like we sometimes I feel like some of us, we keep ourselves in our own internal prison, I like to call it. And we want to just stay there because we built that prison and it works for us. So, you know, leave it alone and let's stay there. I decided, okay, I'm not staying there anymore. I'm going to do something different. And now we're going to change everything. And my life is completely different from what it was, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's completely, completely different. You know, I used to be an HR professional for 22 years, you know, human resources. And here I am now. I'm an author. I'm a Reiki master. I'm a mentor and coach. I'm in this creative space. But it feels just right. And I feel like I'm helping people, you know, through my words, and that I'm able to express the pain that I've had endured and express that I know it's all about love, and for me to share that with others to say, listen, you know, get to that starting point, look at the love that's in your life and what's around you, and really start really being grateful for it and cherishing it, because that's what's going to get us to where we need to be is that love initially.
I know that that's a message with Reiki, because I'm a Reiki practitioner myself, and when I was taught Reiki, I was given like a morning prayer to say. It's like, today I will not anger. It's like, I will respect all life. I will be grateful. Things like that. Is that what kind of fits into your Reiki practice? Like, how does Reiki look to you? What do you do when you're going through that?
Yeah. It fits into that, my practice every day. Also, I do self Reiki on myself. I'd also, as well as I start my day with, I guess, an affirmation, I want to say, where I say, I'm just going to put out for today, I'm putting out healing and peace. Yep. And all of that, right? Because we're just in the now and the today, and that's all we can technically do. So I do that every morning also. I say that and I put that out there. And I mean it. There's meaning behind it. You know, I was called to Reiki, you know, it's about a year now I've been a Reiki practitioner. Very quickly I was called to it, and then I felt, you know, very drawn to then become a master in December, this past December, you know. And I wasn't in that space before, like I said, at all. Mm-hmm. So people would look at me and say, like, who is this person? But it's fitting exactly right, like it's supposed to be. I think that I feel strong, you know, as that healing energy runs through me all the time. I'm meant to do that. That's part of also what I'm meant to do, you know, in this space.
So for someone trying to get into Reiki and like self-healing and things, what would be your advice on that? Because I know there are a lot of people who are really interested in Reiki and that energy healing system.
Well, I think, you know, obviously, you know, you've heard the term, obviously, mind over matter. You know, I think that's part of it, right? I think I realized, you know, a couple of years ago, someone had told me something like, in order to feel good again, like, you really have to feel good, right? So I think that that's part of that internally, right? Right. Yeah. So I think, you know, since Reiki entered my life, I think others can probably tap into their own light energy, right? I think that we all have energy. We feel goosebumps at time, all of that, things like that, those shivers. Yep. That's all energy, right? So we all have that in us. So I want to say, anyone looking into that space, you know, start up by reading on Reiki a little bit. You know, if you're not drawn to take a course and become a Reiki practitioner, I want to say, read up on it a little bit. You know, I wasn't drawn to that right away. You know, I had a couple of Reiki sessions in my lifetime, and I know it helped me. Mm. You know, so I want to say, you know, for someone, you know, looking to get into that energy space, you know, start reading up on a little bit, dabble in it, you know. There's certain things that I do that I want to say ritual, you know, wise now. No one really told me or guided me to it. I kind of just feel like, again, I know what to do. Like, something is telling me internally what to do, when to light a candle or to make like a healing spray of some sort, you know, through oils and so, you know, so that kind of comes to you, I think, in that once you get into that space, you start connecting a little bit more spiritually, you're drawn to things more intuitively.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've heard that before. It's like, I don't come up with these things. I don't read them somewhere. Mm-hmm. They just kind of come to me of how I should go about doing this. And so being open in my Reiki practice, I notice, and this is how I was taught. It's like, I was given lots of step-by-step things like, do this, make sure you do that and do that. But at a certain point, just ask, what should I do here? How does this person need to be helped? What's wrong with this chakra? Where is this blockage coming? Just be open to receiving that information, because that's when we actually really start tapping into something. Just kind of getting ourselves out of the way and saying, whatever it is, I'm going to come through and help with it. One thing I noticed with Reiki specifically is that there's this tendency for people to believe that their emotional state and the things that they've gone through don't have an impact on their body or their energy. And science is saying something totally different. Science now is saying that your emotional state, the stress you go through, the cortisol that you release on a daily basis, it affects your body. Your body holds on to this, and it'll compensate for a long time. You know, you're going through this, and now your body is producing what it has to produce for you to be comfortable. But we live in a state of fight or flight all the time. Mm-hmm. People never have peace. And the reason for that I found is that through some readings that I've done, I've seen that we live in a fear of the future and a regret of the past. And that creates a cycle of living. You see, you go into those new situations based on the past. So you're always seeing these flashbacks of failure. You're always seeing these flashbacks of hurt, and you're carrying it into every new moment. And your body doesn't know how to distinguish between imagined and real. So if you're thinking in your mind, I'm stressed, oh, this memory, oh, you know, things like that, the body will react. And it'll lock up that energy within you. And it just so happens that we have these, you know, these different nerve ganglia and these packs of nerves in our body that correspond to our chakras. And that's where the pain is localized. And so Reiki will come in and it will send that Reiki energy to these places. And so I find that's very interesting that Reiki does that. And I love how science comes together and meets these Eastern practices and, you know, these different energy systems like that. Right.
I mean, emotions are energy, right? You just mentioned emotions. That's energy also, right? Everything is energy, right? Everything. So I think we everything. So we forget about that. You know, it's the people we're around. It's things we're watching on TV, everything we're listening to, the music we listen to, like, everything has energy and we don't realize it. You know, there was a book I just read, you know, a few months back, and it was a study on water, and it was about the healing messages in water. And there was, you know, a study a gentleman did where he speaks to his water, you know, and it's, you know, there was impact on the water when they were freezing it on what they were saying to it, whether it be positive or negative.
Yes, I just heard that. Yeah. Very interesting.
So it's an interesting thing, because ever since I read the book, you know, every day I speak to my water. It may sound a little woo-woo, but I speak to my water in the morning. I charge it and I say some positive things to it, what I want it to help me with, basically, right? Because we forget that you know, in the book also, he speaks about that we're made up of water, basically, when we're in the womb, right? We're sitting in water, we're in, and we forget about that. So water is a big part of our life. So things like that, I've just been guided to, right? Like I just said, right, reading that book, that too happens all the time where I'm just guided to different books. So people will ask me what books I read on my journey as I've grown in this space. And it's always different left and right, different authors. And they wonder, like, where did this all come into play? And I'm like, it's just, again, I'm led to it, to read these different, you know, stories that I'm reading to get my own learning and teaching from them, right?
Yeah, well, now you're one of those authors that people are going to be led to. See, there's a reason for it. You're led so that you can lead others.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that message of getting through grief and love. And you mentioned water and energy. I forget his name, but I just recently heard about the same thing, speaking to the water and how he would freeze it. And when he would speak negatively to the water, it would take on like this chaotic form, but speaking to it positively, it would have very nice things like that. I also hear the same thing about speaking to plants and how, you know, speaking to a plant, it helps it to grow and things like that.
Right.
So it's very interesting how we move through life like this. And all that I'm learning on my journey is that everything is energy. I like to look at things like from a scientific place because it's just so cool to hear how things actually shake out and like quantum physics and things like that and how, you know, everything down to the quantum level is just vibrating energy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just particles of light and it's just so crazy how all of this works. And we are actually energy. The woo-woo actually has a place,
right.
You know?
Right.
I can't describe it, but yeah.
And it's crazy because I think, like I said, I think as society, because we don't, you know, we don't talk about the woo-woo, so not that many people dabble in that space. I want to say there are a lot more people enlightened of more recent, I want to say, and I think that that's what's meant to be, that there's a more of a enlightened tribe that seems to be coming through that left and right, I want to say. But I know in my 20s, I used to have recurring dreams after my grandmother passed. These same recurring dreams, but again, I was in my 20s, so I was like, I just ignored it. I always thought it was like, oh, I don't know, having these weird dreams, all right. But literally one of the dream, that same dream came back just recently, about 2 years ago, the same exact dream out of nowhere 20 years later. And that's when I knew, I literally said out to them out loud, okay, I got you. Like I was ignoring you back when I was in my 20s, you know, but you're young, you don't realize, right? You think you're like, oh, you're not getting into that space as much, but I think more and more people are becoming enlightened and realizing that meditation is important in one's life, you know, in one's success. But I think that we're looking at what is success differently now, right? I think a lot of people used to look at it externally, what success is. And, you know, I've been asked that question more recently and I'm like, me living as a good person daily, being kind to humankind, I go, that's success for me. And people look at me like, oh, what's this one?
What is she? Weirdo.
right. But it's so... You know, I look at it like, look at my loved ones who passed on, like they don't have their life to live anymore. You know, they moved on to a different, you know, they transitioned on and that was what it was, but I'm still living my life. Right. So why don't I have some experiences where I'm living my life to the fullest and that they can see that I'm doing that now. Whereas, like I said, right, my mother all that time when she had first passed, like all she saw me was in pain all the time, just crying and upset. Where now they're seeing something different, where they're seeing me dance all the time and happiness that's in me and the joy that's there. And it's genuine, right? I wouldn't be sitting here speaking to people if I was still crying. You know, if I get off the podcast and then I'm crying in the corner, that wouldn't be genuine to me. Like I would never do that. It's not who I am. It had to all be genuine. And that's where I am right now. That's why I'm spreading the message now, you know?
Excellent. And it's a good message. Like I said, people need to hear that there is a way that you can change. There is a way that you can come out of that depressive state and actually enjoy life again. Because a lot of people don't enjoy life. A lot of people go through life, I've noticed, like just like ghosts. They're just hollow, you know, and it's unfortunate. But if you really sat down and asked any passerby, are you happy? They'll say, oh, yeah, of course I'm happy. Why? What's going on in your life? Like, what do you want from life? The fact that you said, like, what's success to you? I feel like 95% of people say success is money, living comfortably, having such and such a thing. And that kind of pulls you away from your dream. When your goal all the time is to attain some, you know, some rung on the ladder of success and money and things like that, this materialistic society we live in, I feel like that detracts from your actual purpose, your dream in this world, which is why a lot of times I interview these CEOs and, you know, these people who've started these, you know, seven figure businesses, and they say, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm coaching people. I'm mentoring people, you know, on how to grow spiritually, because it's like you gain the skills there to bring them over here to teach people in a more structured and impactful way. And one thing that's really helped me, because I know it's hard for people to walk this line where they're like, I'm going to follow my dream, even if it doesn't look possible. I'm going to follow what I'm passionate about. For me, it's helped to know that you're successful when you're doing it. Like, you're successful as you're moving toward it. You're not successful when you're finally, you know, you've sold 1 million copies and everyone knows your name. That's a type of success, sure, but you've already achieved success as you're going through the process. When you were writing your journal 2 months after your boyfriend had passed, like, that was you succeeding. You were successful just then. You were becoming who you were meant to be. That's more impactful to me.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, you mentioned, you know, different CEOs that you've chatted with, all of that. I mean, when I was in the corporate world, you know, you're talking, I was there for 2 decades. Everyone seemed unhappy around me, to be honest. And I didn't realize that early on. It was more in more recent years where I realized, all right, everyone's making good money and they're getting their titles. But I felt it. I felt the energy off of everyone where I was like, but everyone is still unhappy. Like, I knew that. And I knew personally, I knew I wasn't fulfilled in that career, and I wasn't scared to say it anymore. Basically, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm good at this, but it doesn't fulfill me. I know that's not what I was brought to this earth to do, was to be this human resources professional. You know, I helped people along my way in my own way because I was a manager. But I knew that I was meant to help people a little bit deeper, right? Not just in their careers and what they want to do in that aspect, you know? And so here I am now, again, doing something totally different, but I feel good about it every day. I live a joyful life. I am happy, you know? And that's, you know, and that's a good thing if I can share that with others.
And that's the thing. That's on top of, like, your message of overcoming grief and finding love and the power of love and things like that, and living a fulfilled life. It is a movement toward happiness. And even though happiness isn't like a, I don't believe it to be a constant state of elation that you have at all moments, because, you know, things happen, but to be able to be happy, like, you talk about these people in your office who they're getting these things. They're, you know, they're getting the money, the position, the new car, the house, they're fulfilling the check marks that America puts on us, but they're not happy. I don't feel like it's anyone's job to be a cog in the system. Like, that, I don't think that's anyone's purpose on this earth. Like, I say the universe is a uniqueness engine. You were created uniquely to express a different facet of the universe. Something, you're put on this earth to express some sort of love and beauty and expression. And I just don't think in every case people get that working in corporate America. Like, I feel like America is a human farm a lot of times. Like, we're just churned out and things like that, and it burns people out, and they spend their whole lives in that, and it's disappointing, you know. And, you know, that's why I wrote my book, to let people know, it's like, you can have what you want in this moment. You know, that's the cure for enlightenment. You know, a lot of people think it's this thing, you know, it's like you gotta go the 100 miles and spend a lifetime on a mountaintop in the Himalayan mountains, or you've got to be this huge CEO with a seven-figure company to actually live an enlightened life. And that's not the case. It starts right here. It starts in the moment. It's that, I'm not going to let this destroy me. I'm going to build up and make a difference. Like, it's that in the moment that I feel like is really powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that there's hope. I feel hopeful for the future. You know, I get what you said about, you know, society. It's because we all impact each other, right? We're all telling each other what the right checklist is that we all need to do these things. And then we're checking off the list, and no one really is going to stop and go, wait a minute, I don't like this checklist. Like, I want something different. Like, I don't want this anymore. Right. It's very doubtful that person will stand up and say that. Right. So then you have the people that, you know, become, I want to say, light workers, right? And they're trying to bring that enlightenment to people. And I think that that's, you know, there's not anyone I've met that hasn't gone through the corporate space a little bit, to be honest. Everyone I've met over the past year during this new journey that I've been on, everyone either has been in the corporate space or has been their partner has been in the corporate space and they've gotten out of it. So it's very interesting, right? That every person I've come across has left that space for some reason and is now doing something different in a space like this.
I feel like that's true. I was really big into sales and I was doing that for a long time. Really into it. The competition of sales is what drew me in. And so I spent a lot of time doing that. And then I left that and started to dive into these spiritual things more. I feel like these negative things, quote unquote, these like hard parts of life, they happen to kind of shake us out of complacency. You could have continued on in HR your whole life and never have done this. You know, not to say it's like, oh, it's so glad that happened to you, but just like, you can always make roses out of this bad situation, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes people need that shake out of complacency. And right. I feel like that makes a big difference. Like, that's why you see a lot of people. Like, I just spoke the other day to a CEO and he had much the similar thing. He lost his son and that shook him out of that. Mm-hmm. Like, workaholic, you know, sales all the time, building businesses. He had to stop and say, all right, what's going on in life? What's important? You know, we have to be taken out of this matrix of like this corporate system. We have to wake up sometimes. And I feel like that's why that stuff happens sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I think that we're all given different little trials, I want to say. And basically we see if we're going to take a different path or not, right? Like you just said, I could have continued on, but life didn't have that in store for me. They were like, okay, they're going to throw her a curveball and let's see what happens, you know? And I looked at it like that, you know, I was able to look at it like that and say, okay, I need to do something different because I knew it wasn't just a coincidence. I don't think there's coincidences in life. I really don't agree with, you know.
God doesn't play with dice, I say.
Right.
There's a purpose.
Right. And like I said, and I think that when I met my boyfriend, you know, we were only together for about 10 months, but it was so impactful. Like, he was so impactful in my life. I knew that I was meant to meet him. When we did, I knew that we were meant to fall in love. We fell in love very quickly. And I think that was all in the cards. I think that he was meant to experience love one more time before he left this place. And I think that I was meant to experience, you know, a different higher level of love that I received from him that I hadn't had before in my previous relationships, you know? So I think that came into play. And that's why now my life is, I think, being set up to, you know, where I'm not going to have, you know, these hardships the way I did before because I'm looking at things differently.
Yeah. It's all a matter of perspective. It's such a beautiful message that you have. And I do want people to get it, to listen to it, to get your book. We're coming up on our time here, so I kind of want to end things a little bit. It's been a great talk. I've learned a lot from it. I feel like I've been enriched through the process. I know people listening and watching will be as well. Where can people find you? You know, what are you working on? Things like that.
Yeah, my website is jennifermalamani.com. I'm also on Instagram, jennifer.m.alamani, and I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn. My book Baby can be found at Book Baby, and my book, actually, I called it Book Baby, but it actually can be found at Book Baby. It's called Mark My Love, but it's also on Amazon as well. And if you go to my website, the clicks are there also to get it directly from that space. Right now, I'm just, if anyone's interested in Reiki with me or any kind of coaching, mentoring, you know, I have my website also. You can get in contact with me there for those things as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure having you, Jennifer. Again, guys, all of those links and websites are going to be in the show notes and in the description of this video. Make sure you click on that stuff. If you guys want to reach her for Reiki or any sort of mentoring like that, I encourage you guys to do that. An awesome message, a wonderful human being, a lot of love, a lot of energy. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. That's going to do it for this episode of the Astral Mind Podcast. Guys, thank you so much for joining us again. Here's peace, here's love, here's life. Take all of that. If you guys need anything from me, you have any questions, comments, or concerns, leave them in the comment section below, or you can email me at calmokesmovement@gmail.com. Blessings, love and light, namaste, and as always, never stop adventuring. And there we go. Another one.
All right.
Another one done. They've all but abandoned our small mind.